I wonder how close I would have stood to the cross on that day. Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, several other women, and his closest friend John were close enough to talk and converse with Jesus on the cross. I think I probably would have been at the back of the crowd along with the other disciples, not understanding everything that was happening. Today we stand in awe of being able to come close to the cross of Calvary. There's a sense in which as a family we gather today at the foot of the cross as Jesus poured out his love for you and for me. And we can come, we can revel in that because we know the end of the story. But on that day, they didn't know the end of the story. We don't feel like our world is falling apart, but they did. In fact, we've already received some of the benefits of Jesus dying on the cross, pouring out his very life there for you and me. I live at peace with God today because of what Jesus did. I know the forgiveness of sins today because of what Jesus did. I know the end of my story. I know I have a home in heaven because of what Jesus did there. Those disciples didn't understand all of that on that day. Today, we come to remember Jesus' sacrifice and to give thanks. What a huge element of thanksgiving for today. And we're going to do that through taking communion today and focus so much on his sacrifice. That's where the spotlight is today for you and I. We're going to eat and drink his chosen symbols to represent his sacrificed body and his spilled out blood. It really takes all of the Bible, the whole scripture, to fill this communion with all of its meaning for us today. You know, sacrifice was part of the life of the very first human family. Think back with me, not that far, but back to that Mount Sinai scene when Moses ascended the mountain and received the Ten Commandments from the hand of God. And God revealed to him there the whole system of sacrificial worship, including the details of a house of worship, a tabernacle, and how they were to assemble it. The instructions were so detailed, amazingly detailed. God had a pattern, and he laid it out for them, and they were to build it according to the instructions given. Different rooms, different furnishings, and each part was important. But central to all of that was the sacrifice for sins. Right in the center of the place of worship. In that old covenant, God said he would be their God as long as they kept a right attitude and obedience to him. And that meant that when they sinned, there was to be payment for the sin. They would only be forgiven if a life was sacrificed, if blood was shed. And it tells us in the New Testament that the wages of sin is death. And they began to understand that, in understanding that each time they sinned, if they had access to the place of worship, they were to bring an animal that in fact would give its life for that sin. The animal was to be a lamb, a perfect lamb, with no blemishes. But each individual had to come back again and again to confess sin, to sacrifice another lamb. And that had to continue generation after generation. And then add on top of that, on a national scale, once a year, the high priest, the one person that filled that role, could represent the whole of Israel in offering a sacrifice of atonement. As he came, that high priest, to represent the people, he had to offer a personal sin offering for himself so that he could be ceremonially clean enough to then represent the people in a sin offering before the presence of God. On that day, he would sacrifice the animal that died for the unconfessed sins of all the people. They just kind of gathered them all together before God on that day. And so he would do the ritual slaughter of the animal. The blood would be caught in a bowl. And it would be handled and carried only by that high priest. And he would go from the altar. He would go through the holy place, a room in the temple and a section where the usual ceremonies of offering and sacrifice and praise to God were conducted on a daily basis. He would continue through that part, where he would encounter a multi-layered curtain that formed the separation from the inner room, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. That curtain shielded the people and the priests from accidentally looking on the presence of God and dying. It was understood, as God taught the people through all of this, that the presence of God is so holy and so pure that a sinner cannot stand in the presence of God, cannot walk into the presence of God. Because you can only come into the presence of God when sin has been cleansed. And there is righteousness there beyond what a sinner can offer to God. In that Holy of Holies, that curtained off room, was the Ark of the Covenant, the lid of which was called the mercy seat, and was the designated place of meeting between God and the representative of mankind for the forgiveness of sins for Israel. Only the high priest, only when he carried the blood of the atonement sacrifice, only once a year, was allowed to press through that multi-layered overlapping curtain and come that close to the presence of God to sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat as payment for the sins of Israel. And all of that had to be carefully, carefully repeated each year so that the covenant relationship with Almighty God could be maintained. But the Bible goes on to tell us that the Old Covenant sacrificial system was a shadow of reality, a vague copy of the true and ultimate place of worship in heaven. The Bible went on to let us know that Jesus was the real thing, that his death was the real sacrifice. And the book of Hebrews gives us some amazing insight as to what Jesus did for us on that original Friday. If you wish to have your Bibles open at Hebrews chapter 9, we'll be referencing some scriptures there today. It tells us that in heaven is the real Holy of Holies, the real mercy seat, the real meeting place with God Almighty. I don't know what your imagination does with words like that, to imagine the true temple of worship, the true meeting place with God. I suppose my mind goes to marble courtyards and pillars. But what a poor imagination of what the reality would be in the true courts of heaven, where God meets with the representative of mankind for the payment of sin. And the Bible tells us that while the followers of Jesus were standing by that cross, devastated by the horror of him being crucified, by having Jesus ripped away from them as they stood there while he died. In fact, there was a transaction going on in heavenly places that forever changed our relationship to God. Jesus, dying here on earth, was entering into that spiritual realm through that death, and there became our true high priest. He took on that role for us. He had become fully human, touched by the feelings of our frailties, subject to our limitations, and that was a required qualification for the high priest. Yet Jesus did that without the sin nature and without ever sinning. Christ was supremely qualified to represent us to Almighty God, to press through the curtain that separated us from the Heavenly Father and stand in his presence in the Holy of Holies on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. Slide down to verse 24. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary, but was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Now, friends, at the same time Christ stepped in as our true high priest to represent us in the presence of God, he was also the sacrifice. The blood that he carried into the true Holy of Holies was his own blood shed on the cross of Calvary. Remember, he was the true unblemished Lamb of God. And so when our high priest went to the ultimate Holy of Holies, he presented his own sacrificial blood as the total forever payment of sins to the Heavenly Father, as the satisfaction of true divine justice and the sentence of death that hung over every sinner. Listen to Hebrews 9:12-14 and give thanks as the truth of the Scripture radiates into our spirit. Verse 12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctifying them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? That's worth a quiet hallelujah, isn't it? Just amazing. One more thing. Do you remember that curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place? That kept all of the people from the immediate presence of God, because that was the outcome of it. Yes, it kept them from death, but it also kept them from intimacy with God. It kept them at a distance from God. In our scripture reading, in Mark 15:38, it said this, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That showed in a tangible way what was happening in an incredibly significant spiritual reality. Jesus' body became the transitional, the connecting fabric between human and divine. Remember, Jesus was both fully human and fully God, and those two came together in his body. And when Jesus' body was ripped and torn in the crucifixion, because it was the completely pure sacrifice that would bring true atonement, it was tearing apart, tearing down the barrier, the dividing curtain that kept man and God apart. And Hebrews 10:20 says, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. His body, broken for you, was giving to us a completely new level of access into God's holy presence. So that you and I today, based on Christ's blood sacrifice being applied to our lives by faith, can come into the true Holy of Holies and speak one-on-one with Almighty God. That was not available before Jesus' crucifixion. And so with these truths fresh in our minds, we're going to worship in eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper. The crucifixion gives so much into our lives. We are compelled to great thanksgiving through remembering all of this in communion. In a moment, Pastor Barry is going to lead us in prayer. And then today, thinking how far Christ went to go to the cross, to die for you and me, we're asking you to come and pick up the elements of communion at three serving stations. And a fourth one where Jim Dornan is going to serve those who are physically challenged and would find difficulty in coming forward. And don't hesitate to indicate that you would prefer to not have to come to front. We recognize that. What we want you to do is come and take the piece of bread, take the little glass of juice, and take it back to your seat with you. And worship. Talk to God from the bottom of your heart. During that time, a worship video is going to be playing. And we trust that that will assist your worship. But don't let it get in the way of your worship either. This is a time to commune with God, to reflect on all that this Good Friday event accomplished in our lives. But Jesus stepped up to be our high priest, that he took his own blood as the sacrifice, that he allowed his body to be ripped so that that curtain that held you and I from the immediate intimate presence of God could be torn down, and that we could come even today and talk with God and hear his voice back into our lives. After we've worshiped in communion this morning, we're going to come back and look at the continuation of what Hebrews is telling us, because the Word of God says that there are some outcomes from these truths, and we need to cap our worship this morning with what the Bible attaches to this. And so, during the minutes that that worship video is playing, would you please just step out and come and collect your elements of worship? We've got three aisles, and without being over-organized, I think that we can come and get back to our seats okay. Greet one another while you're doing that in the fellowship of the blood of Christ that we are sharing in together today. And then as you're back to your seat, take your time in a time of your own choosing. Eat and drink as your worship to Almighty God this morning. I trust that it will be a time of great praise, that the reminder by being here on Good Friday morning will stir our hearts to an outpouring of thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you as we take part in this communion this morning. Pastor Perry.
Father, it's hard to fully comprehend all of what your Son has done for us. I thank you that he is the high priest and continues to be our high priest, continues to be our mediator. I thank you that we can go into your presence, Father, through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We realize that he was able to accomplish more than we can even think about in terms of accomplishment. He was not only the high priest that brought the blood before the Father, but he was also the sacrifice as well. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Father, we want to bow in your presence in the solemnity of this moment to thank you for your willingness to send your Son into this world. And we want to thank you for your Son, who clearly said in John's Gospel that he would voluntarily lay down his life only to take it up again. So often, Father, in our world, we want to cast blame on who killed Jesus. And he clearly says, I came to give my life a ransom for many. And so, Father, I thank you. We can be numbered amongst that many if we receive him fully into our hearts and accept his wonderful gift of salvation that he's purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. So, Father, as we partake of the elements today, as we reflect on your goodness and your love to us, as we reflect on the pain and the suffering not only of Jesus but also of you, our Father, knowing how difficult this was to hear your Son say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, from your perspective, Good Friday was a difficult day. It was a day that you turned your back on your son for the first time in all of eternity because he bore our sin. And so, Father, help us to reflect and to meditate and to allow your Spirit to speak deeply to our spirits today. And Father, may we sense that thanksgiving and that gratitude that flows from a heart that is thankful for the provision of salvation for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to go to a cross. Suffer all that mocking, all those words of insult, all that pain and torture, all that suffering, so that we might have life, abundant life, eternal life, purposeful life. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to just dedicate ourselves to you today and thank you for the privilege that we have of being here to celebrate your table together. We pray this in your name.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of
man. Eat and drink with us. You worship God together today.
You were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. And laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what. Took the fall
Father, your love is so amazing. Thank you that you made eternal provision for us, not only to forgive our sins, to cleanse our conscience, to give us new life, eternal life, and your amazing promise to be with us, never leave us, never forsake us, to be with us unto the end of the age. Thank you that your provision is full, total, and complete. And in you, we have our being, our whole way of life, our whole way of eternity, is in Jesus Christ. And we give profound thanks to the greatest extent of our being this morning for your shed blood, for your broken body, and all that means in our lives. We glorify you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Three great things that we want to remember this morning that come out of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He became our high priest. He entered the presence of God on our behalf with a sacrifice. Secondly, he carried his own blood to present as the atoning sacrifice that gives us full and total forgiveness and cleansing from sin. And the tearing of his body brought down the dividing barrier or curtain so that we now have personal and direct access into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can live in a personal relationship with Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. Now as we come back to the scriptures, we're going to see three things in our next scripture, these three things in our next scripture, and it draws some guidance for us out of this. So if you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at starting at verse 19. If we live in the benefits of these great realities of Jesus' sacrifice, of Good Friday, there are some resulting behaviors on our part. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Four things in here, friends. Number one, it says, let us draw near to God. We have the privilege of intimate relationship with God. And the closer we draw to God, the greater fulfillment we will have in this life. The way is fully and completely open. Jesus did that for us. If there is resistance, if there is distance between you and God, guess who's staying back? God has the way open for us, and he invites us on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice to come into intimate personal relationship with him, to commune with him, to have him with us forever. Secondly, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What a lesson there is in Good Friday. Again, look at the disciples of Jesus. To them, it looked like things couldn't get any worse. And yet, what was the truth? These amazing, eternal salvation transactions were taking place in the presence of God at the very time the disciples thought that the bottom had fallen out of their existence and that all their hope was crushed. God is faithful, it says. When we are in our darkest hours, when life is confusing and difficult, hold fast to the hope in Jesus Christ, because he is at work in ways the human mind cannot fathom. Thirdly, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Out of the individual benefits of salvation through the Good Friday events comes a responsibility for one another. The goal is clear. It's love and good deeds. And each one needs to invest in helping others accomplish this very goal. That's what the church, the body of Christ, needs to be all about. You, as an individual, bring something unique into this body. But friend, your Good Friday obligation is to put it into action as part of the resources of what Christ and others can use toward love and good deeds as we are out in our mission field beyond the walls of this church. And then fourthly, it says, let us encourage one another. The primary trait of a Christian environment is people pouring encouragement into one another. Do you remember what Christ said about that? He said, the world will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. That's the litmus test. And even the world is allowed to dip the litmus paper into the church and test to see if we love one another beyond any other kind of love connection in the world. And he says, that's how they'll know that you are truly my disciples, as you love one another. One of the ways, and it's mentioned here, that we encourage one another, according to verse 25, is by regularly meeting together. And we've done that again this morning in the joy of Christ. We need one another in the fellowship. Sometimes we're tempted to drop off our attendance because we feel we're not getting much out of it, or we're not getting enough involvement, or there's a multitude of things that can come into our minds. But friends, meeting together isn't just about you. Your presence, your support is one of the ways of fulfilling Good Friday obedience and response to this amazing sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because someone else will be encouraged by your presence in the meeting together. Well, God bless you as you take the reality of Jesus, our High Priest, making atonement for you with God into your daily life. And may this be a great weekend as we continue to celebrate, as we return together to celebrate resurrection 2 days from now, and to join together in that breakfast time at 9:30, and to just enjoy being with one another. It'll be great to have lots of children there and to see their joy in the Easter event. And then at our regular service time, to come into the house of God to celebrate with lots of music, lots of rejoicing as we enjoy our cantata on Easter Sunday morning. I think it's going to be a great time to radiate the joy of the resurrection. The dark drapery of Good Friday only lasts until Easter Sunday morning, and we celebrate the resurrection. We know the story already. Let's journey with the disciples through these days and come to Easter Sunday morning full of joy, full of spring, we pray, and full of the reality that we have new life in Jesus Christ. Let's join together in singing worship as Brian comes to lead us in our closing song. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.